Nou, ik vind het leuk dat we op deze conferentie mogen spreken en ook dat er zoveel belangstelling is vanuit developers. This session was intentionally meant in English. I think I will do it in English because that will be broadcasted as well. Anyone who prefers English above Dutch, please hands. Yes? All right. We'll keep it English. I thought probably I could read up the slides and then just simultaneously translate them into Dutch, but everything is in English now. We are two employees of a firm called McCaw. You see the logo in the left top corner of the screen. McCaw is the largest privately owned Microsoft company in the Netherlands. It's not from Microsoft, but it is dedicated to bring Microsoft solutions on all types of platforms. Sorry. It's all Microsoft. We are both from the Business Intelligence Group. We also have a very large SharePoint knowledge group, and probably you know it from .NET. We are more known in that area. The Business Intelligence Group is about 10 people. My name is Robert Bakker. And this is Dave. He will assist me with the demos. We are based in Schiphol Rijk, in the Amsterdam area, but we also have two other sites where we work from. One is Barendrecht near Rotterdam, and a new one is Apeldoorn in the east part of the country. And we are looking for a lot of employees. So if you feel if you're enthusiastic about this talk, we'll see. You can always ask us by the end of the session. We have everything with us to help you. We are a group of 10 dedicated BI specialists, and we are serving about 20 customers in parallel. Mostly we have very short projects of about 6 weeks. We try to make increments of 6 weeks, say about 3-4 people. So we do very practical, short BI development projects. But we have our roots in application development as well. So we try now to integrate both worlds and show you what you can do with these BI guys. BI guys are a bit strange in the development area. So I think we have to do a job this session. Okay. What do we want to do today? We will show you Reporting Services 2008. R2, so that's the current version. During the session, I will show what the difference are between 2005, 2008, and R2. So if you already know something about reporting services, you can make the switch. On the other hand, if you don't know about it, this will be a very introductory lecture. So you will see many parts of the product, and I hope that you learn a lot from it and that it is very hands-on as well. So the demos are very important in this presentation. Now, I hope this is the right menu for you. I've written down the takeaways. What will you learn from this? Now, how to team up with BI developers, as I already said. What the new report items are that you can use to create very effective visualizations. The thing is about that you don't have to program at all. You just configure as much as you can so that you don't have to program. Well, we'll show that, and it's up to you to decide whether to use it in your daily work. First, let me try to investigate how many people here are already familiar with reporting services. Yes, quite a many. All right. Then we can do that part a bit faster, I think. Probably you'll see new things anyway. This is then the agenda for this afternoon. We have 5 points. We will show you first the options side. This session is called Options and Challenges. So the options side will show what reporting services can offer you. And then we have 2 challenges to win. Of course, we prepared them a little. One is how to integrate reporting services in your current .NET application. What is the easiest way to do so, and what can be the benefits? The second one is to show you reporting services on the mobile platform. Of course, it's the theme of the day, so I was glad that we already prepared that one. otherwise we would have a bit strange profile. Okay. There will be a case throughout this demo, and the case will be described separately, so I will introduce it shortly to you. Finally, we have the question and answer section. If you have immediate questions and you can't keep them for the end, ask them immediately, and otherwise, please keep them for the end so that we can do it in a structured way. This session is recorded, so it's easier also for the other audience to find the questions in the end, and I can repeat them, and we can go into discussion as well. Oh, we also have a very small contest with a prize. Let's start with the reporting services architecture. Reporting services, as the name says, is built as a set of services that you can access through what is shown on top, the web services and URL access. Mostly you do not do that directly. Mostly you use a user interface for that. So you have SQL Server Management Studio in the middle. You also have the report viewer control, and that will be handled today more in detail. Another way is that you use SharePoint as your primary reporting source. And there in SQL 2008 R2, there are many new features to build nice dashboards in SharePoint by just composing your pages instead of programming. So that will be shown shortly. Inside the report engine, you have several services, and they are clustered in these blocks. The report engine, I will show you in the next slide how it works. But you have an engine to do data processing, which means collect the data from different sources. There are so many sources I will describe. Then the report will get its data through these sources, render the data, and make the report in the format that you like. So there are a lot of output formats shown here. Then we have security services. How can you secure your report server? A couple are out of the box, so you can use them directly. Of course, Windows integrated security, but you can also ask for login security, where the user has to type his name and password before he can continue. And you have the scheduling and delivery services. We will not talk about this one today. It has to do with automatically generating reports and then distributing them throughout your organization. So, for instance, you have managers of departments, and they all get their own report every Monday on their desk with only the data of their department, things like that. So consider reporting services also as a platform, not just as a development tool. I think it's good to mention a couple of possible sources. Of course, you can use SQL Server, but there are also sources like Power Pivot is new, Azure. You can directly connect to Azure databases also in reporting services, 2008 R2. We have, of course, Oracle Analysis Services, etc. Rendering, you can go to two types of Office formats, Excel and Word, but you can also export PDF, HTML, XML, and you can also use the report as an Atom data feed so that it becomes a data source itself, which is quite a new feature. Yeah, let's go on. Well, developing a report is like you're writing an RDL file, which is a definition file, and the RDL file is fed into the XML service that is the web service that is waiting for it, processes a report, and returns you the results. So it's a kind of code behind type of way of working. You paint everything visually, and in the background, an RDL file is created, which is an XML type of file. And that RDL file is, in fact, your code that will be processed directly when you pass it through to the web service. It's all done unnoticed, of course, because it should be user-friendly. This slide is about how report execution works. I've tried to make it animate it a little. Report server is here just waiting for an assignment to do something. It has its catalog in a report server database on a SQL Server platform. There's also a temporary database for the processing and data and for connection information. So this is the static situation before we start. Then the client application asks for a report. It's, for instance, someone is double-clicking a report in the user interface in order to get the report and its data. That's the first step. The report is looked up in the catalog, and the compiled definition is brought over into the reporting in the report server. A session is initiated, and now report server is alive to do its work. It has all its definitions from the report catalog, and it can now do whatever it is instructed in the file. One of the first things the report should do is read out its data source information, find out what queries it should execute, and ask them to the data source, get its data back to the server. The report data is collected, is in the session. An execution snapshot is created, which means that the report is compiled and is an instance now in the report server to do the processing it should do. And finally, I think this goes a bit too fast, but there are two steps. After the data is collected, the data is processed and rendered, and then the output is generated to the outside world. And you get your Word, Excel, or whatever format you've required. I'm not going too fast, I hope. Okay. This is a bit the tough part. We have three theory slides to go, and then we start a demo, which is more interactive. Well, you have, of course, very many books about how reporting services work, so we won't get into details here. We cannot explain all RS features, but there are so many books and the movies and the internet sites where you can look up how everything is done and what the possibilities are. But this is the main line. When you build a report in reporting services, you go through these stages. You start with defining a data source, where to get data from. Could be a couple of data sources. Per data source, you can add data sets, which are query definitions. Then on the report canvas, you drag report items that you like, tables, figures, etc., and you connect them to your data sources, data sets, so that they can show the data in the way you like. We will show you shortly. Some other possibilities are parameters, where you can ask the user for input in order to filter the data that is coming through, and also to call another report, for instance, with data that the user selected. When the user clicks on a certain row, it goes to a detail report, and it knows to show details from what object through parameters, and the other report starts. There are a couple of actions. Those are the things that happen when you click in the report. BI thing is normally about reading data and not doing, not writing anything. But in the visualization and in the navigation, we are always asked to make very rich applications that are very well connected. So you go from one report to another, you drill down, drill through, etc. And reporting offers very many possibilities for that. What I would like to know, if you are now working as a developer and you already use a report tool, you have that in mind now, and you probably will come up with a question during the session, I usually use that feature of that tool. Is that possible in reporting services? Well, keep the question for the end, because then we can try to answer and you can make the comparison for yourself. What is the best tool for your needs? A an interesting thing to tell is that when you define a data source, for instance, a SQL data source, analysis service data source, Power Pivot, etc., reporting services knows to offer you a designer that fits that type of data source. So when you click a SQL data source, you want to define a new data set on it, it knows, all right, I need a SQL query painter. So it comes up with the SQL query painter, and you can paint your query by dragging fields, clicking on tables, making relationships, things like that. When you go to an analysis services cube, it also knows to show what type of painter you need for MDX. So it is very visual. Also, there is a kind of code behind, because you can switch from the visual designer onto the real query and edit it manually. But then the query painter is not available anymore. It's lost. So you can make that decision only once per query. And but there is the flexibility to write whatever query you like in the language MDX, SQL, or whatever you're using. No, I think that's it for this slide. Let's go on. Now, for developers, this is an oasis, because now we're talking about .NET. Finally. Took some time, but now we're there. Where is the code? Because we are already told you that reporting services is a lot of visual doing, but there is also a possibility of coding. Coding can be in several ways. I've already shown you that reporting services is a web service application, so that you can also address the services from your .NET application and do the things you like. Those will mostly be management type of things that you do. So you ask reporting services to put a report in a certain place, or to add a user to a certain directory, and things like that, management type of things. The real report building could be from the outside, because this a report we will show you is in fact an XML file, the RDL I talked about. Could also be a local RDL. I will also tell you about that. And the RDL is, of course, a programmatically built thing by the painter that we're using, but you can also build it by .NET code. So that would be one way to integrate. You can generate your report. If you have to build a lot of reports and they look like each other, you build one template RDL file and you adjust it through your code in order to generate a lot of reports that are all similar and on the same basis. That could be a programming way of thinking. The most natural way is to use the expressions that are in reporting services. Everywhere you have expressions on almost every object. To, for instance, an object visible could be true or false, and you could evaluate an expression in order to find out if you want to show it or not, true or false. So the expression should be a Boolean in the end. And the expression can contain function calls, to .NET code in the report or outside in assemblies. And of course, you know, if you have an external assembly, then you're gone, because you can build the whole world in there. So finally, in fact, that is the main entrance to the .NET world from reporting services. So you start with an expression, write a function, and the function refers to an external assembly that you have created, and then you can do everything you like. In the report, you can only use VB.NET, not C#.NET yet. So that would be something probably for the next version. But in the report, you have a code page, and you can only write VB.NET there, strange enough. We built reporting services reports in Visual Studio, but also there you see it is not a real Visual Studio project, in the sense McCall likes to use frameworks and standards, and we have some difficulty to develop those standards for the analysis services and reporting services sections of our code. So it's not really integrated, it's coming up now. I think the Microsoft BI tools are now lagging in that respect on the other tools. So with Denali, we hope there will be a major upgrade and everything will be more integrated than ever. Now, we want to go to the first demo. I think it's the best thing to start by describing the case we have prepared, because it works through all demos and it's easy to have a story on which to... yeah, I'm a BI developer, so I like stories, scenarios, things like that. Sorry. It's a habit. I want to introduce you to Jack. He's a service manager. Jack is responsible for maintaining Windows phones like this one. Windows Phone 7, of course, will be a part of this session as well. The software is very good. Nothing wrong with it. It's just the devices or the use of the devices, let's say. The devices are good as well, but some people are not very handy with it, and then they have to return the thing. So that's what the case is about. Now, Jack is responsible for a lot of employees throughout the country, and he wants to analyze if the number of employees is equally distributed across the country. So places where we have many inhabitants, there must be many service employees, and places where we have little inhabitants, almost no service employee. It should be a good distribution across the country. That's the case. Jack does three types of jobs, and these are three demos. The first one is he does analysis to see if the distribution is okay across the country. The second job is that he has to do resource planning. So he needs an application, .NET application of course, to adjust the planning so that the distribution is better than it was. So we will build an application for that. And the third demo is that we will show on the mobile phone platform how we can instruct Jack if there's an immediate problem with his resourcing. So Jack is called in the weekend, will get an SMS on his mobile phone and needs to do some analysis in order to find out what's wrong, and he has to act accordingly. So it's actionable BI in that respect. Is the case clear like this? There's one more thing to tell you, which is the map. I will already introduce it now. Because we do a little calculation here, I think it's good that we already know about what's done there. Here you see the map of the Netherlands with municipalities, cities, towns. There are about 450 municipalities in the Netherlands. Per municipality we know from CBS, which is the Dutch statistics agency, how many inhabitants there are. And from our own system, we know, of course, how many employees we have in that municipality. So that when we divide these figures, we can see what the ratio is, how many inhabitants per employee, and see if it is equally divided across the country. So this map will return a couple of times with live data, and then in the demo, the second part, we will adjust the figures so that the distribution is better than it was. All right, demo is starting. Dave will help now. I will tell something while he is building the application from ground up. So you will see reporting services demonstrated. Many of you already know about it, so okay, we'll do it slowly. I think it's good to start with a very simple way. This is Visual Studio, I think it's 2008, Dave, not
yes.
Yet 2010. All
no,
right.
Not yet.
This is a version that is brought when you install SQL Server, you will get BITS, Business Intelligence Development Studio, which is a special a blend of Visual Studio. The shell is Visual Studio 2008, and you get three plugins for ETL code, for analysis services, and for reporting. So these are the type of projects you can produce. And today we will make a report project. Give it a good name, right? Can everybody read this? Because we have a small screen at this moment. A bit smaller. I think it's better than the PowerPoint slides.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. This has helped. So we build a new report, and we are in fact making an RDL file, but we are making it visually by composing it from report items, data sets, data sources, and those are all painters we will see. Dave will add a report item of the type Esri shapefile. It's a new map that you can use. You can download it from CBS, and it contains a lot of demographic data, plus all spatial data you need in order to present it as a map. So it's one big file with everything you like. It's very easy to download and use. I think it's free, yeah?
Yes.
You did it? Yeah. Okay. What I can tell here is you can also, of course, this is a Microsoft product, so you can also add a Bing Maps layer. Bing Maps then will add, because it knows the spatial data, it will add, for instance, roads to the map or places where the gas prices are low, or it will show you the weather. But you can add a layer on top of your map. Yes?
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah?
I think I missed something. You can download with CBS Maps that you can open in the report service, or did I get it wrong?
Yeah, it's... You can download the shape file, and I think there's an additional directory with some stuff.
Yeah, some other files.
So you put it on your local machine, and you just point to it from reporting services, and that's it. So it's quite easy. And then the shape file itself contains a data set, so we did not have to start with the data source data set. We can now start with the shape file, and there is already a data set in it. We will add another data set in order to combine, to show you external data combined with the map data. Yeah. As you see, there's a wizard, and we choose the second option, which says that we will use this map for analytical purposes. We want the color of the municipalities to correspond with the data. So if there is a high value, we want another color than when there is a low value. That's why we choose the second option. And now you will choose the data set that is in the spatial file, or do you choose the external data set?
The external one.
External one. Okay, the external one is the normal way you work with reporting services, because now you say, I have a new data source, connect with my data source, which is a SQL server in this case. And I want to make a query, as I told you, because it is a SQL source, it will open a query designer, which is... specific for SQL Server. You can add tables and then click the columns. Well, this type of functionality is very well known to many people. Now we choose two attributes. One is the name of the municipality as the key. The name is the key. All right. Normally we would choose the code or something.
Yeah, in this case the code and the name, both are
unique.
Present in the shapefile and in SQL Server.
Okay.
And they are unique, so it doesn't matter.
It will suffice. And we choose the number of inhabitants in this first part of the demo. We will just show you the number of inhabitants, how the distribution is across the country, which is a bit simpler than the second part of the demo. I think I have to get out of the way. Yes?
Where's this data stored? In the report? Or how does it, if you download it, the data get stored in your database? Or?
No, I think it will get this data from the... partly it is in the shapefile itself, so it will get it from the shapefile, and partly we have added a data set with external data. So only on runtime, as I showed you a couple of slides earlier, it will request for the data. There are caching options, of course, so that you will keep the data and that will be stored in the report server TempDB in order to make your report faster, for instance. We choose for the blue, green, red color scheme. So we have about three colors, I guess, huh?
Yes.
Finally.
Yeah, five in total.
Well, this is then the map.
I'll make it a little bit bigger, but I have to delete the legend because we have it on the bottom as well.
And this is just the number of inhabitants per municipality. Now the map is still an image. The data is not yet in the map, so this is not representative. Only when we run it, it will show the actual data. And that's now. Okay. It doesn't surprise me because most of the country is empty in the Netherlands. And we have some very crowded spots here, which is the city ring, of course. And now we are in The Hague, which also has some green areas with a little less inhabitants. I think it's Wassenaar. And you have Rotterdam. All right. Yeah. Okay. So here you see the map working. It is really showing the data in the format we like. And it took you only, I didn't count, but I think 25 mouse clicks or so to write this.
Could do it in 10 seconds or so.
Yeah. Don't do it. Let's see what the, what the scenario is. I think we'll continue with the distribution thing about how many employees per inhabitant.
Yeah. Yeah, that information is stored in our SQL Server database. So I'll just edit the query which gets the SQL Server data. And we have a calculated field, a column, which is the number of inhabitants per employee. And we'll just add it to our data set. And then we need to edit the map to show a different measure. We can do that easily by opening the wizard again. And it will take us through similar steps. And you just have to select here a different field to visualize. And then you're done. And of course, this is now like this. And that's not correct.
No. What's wrong with it? I tried to look up if you did the right. Oh, you asked for a count instead of the sum.
That would be
very helpful, audience. Always.
I did.
Yeah.
Sum. Okay,
that's better.
Yes.
Well, this data is not very easy for you to check out if it's correct, but you can think the number of inhabitants per employee is, for instance, on the Isles, it's much less than in the rest of the country. I think there we don't have shops as a service manager, so someone is doing it near his cycle shed or something, servicing the mobile phones on the same spot. Well, there are some areas where we have a problem. That's what the case is about. Here we see a municipality. What's its name, Dave? Maybe you can hover on it, see what it's like.
I can try it, but it won't show.
All right. That's a problem.
No. We'll have to add that functionality.
Okay.
I know. Because I live in the area there, that is Medemblik, but we'll make it visible. We do that by selecting, here it is, this part again, and then get the polygon properties. And then you have a tooltip property. And this will show us the expression functionality reporting services offers us. You can type here anything you like, but I have something already prepared.
Okay, so you were not surprised by my question.
No. It shows us just a string, and then I add the municipality name, and then the measure behind it with the unit.
Inhabitants per employee, all right.
And now if you hover, shows us the
Medemblik,
and it's indeed Medemblik.
Yeah, and it's in the red area of this bar. The same holds for grote gast. It's just inside this part. Yeah. It's only 3,100 and something. Yeah, 56. All right. Maybe we can return for a moment to the expression builder, because we have a lot of .NETers here in the audience. Yeah, sure. This is your entrance to any .NET code you like, because here the expression is a native reporting services thing. You can use many functions that are already provided in reporting services. Maybe you can hover over it and click some of the possibilities. You have your data sets at your disposal. You have the variables that are present in the report. You can show them. You can, of course, format anything you like, make another representation, format, can do conversion, inspection. It is a bit like Excel. If you know Excel formulas, it's a bit this type of thing you can do here. Of course, you know, with Excel, you can make very small, simple equations, but you can also make them very large, complex, and hard to maintain. So that's the same with reporting services. You can make a mess out of it. No problem.
All right.
From that expression, you can also call your code that you've prepared in your .NET assembly. So that's where the entrance point to the .NET world is. I think there's one more thing we wanted to show here. That's what you're actually making is an RDL file. Maybe you can open it and we can have a look. Code, all right.
Sure.
Here you see the code behind paradigm that Microsoft supports from the early days of .NET. And you still see it in the reporting services. It's a kind of code behind way of programming, because when you change anything here, the report designer will update itself and make the changes effective. Of course, it can also crash if you do something that is not supported. But and you see that it's an XML file. Here we are at the query, command text. This type of XML you could also generate from your own application. I sometimes use it for large replacement actions, for instance. When you have a type of formatting on 20 columns, you can find replace a large instances in one go. I think that's it for now. Or did
yes.
we forget something?
I don't know. We don't have to do it now. But finally, we have to deploy this report.
Oh, yeah.
So
Do it now.
It's very easy to do. You just click on the properties of the project, and you have a few options you can set. In this case, I'll just demo it on the local host.
Reporting services is a web application running in this instance on this local machine. So when you've built something, the RDL file, you can deploy it to reporting services. It will be stored in the SQL Server report database. And you can call it from your web browser. Maybe you can show that too. After deployment.
Deploy succeeded. And here you have the report manager on my local host, and it has a folder, devdays, because I configured this folder. And it has our report here. I can click on it. And there you have it.
Okay. What we don't show here is the possibility to have parameters and have the user choose in the user interface from a lot of, for instance, countries or regions, and then switch your interface on the basis of that. So you can make it more interactive than we did just now. We only have added now the Hoover.
Yes?
On what security context is the report run?
Integrated security. And you can switch to Windows Form authentication. But generally, you would stick to integrated security.
And
you can... I think Firefox is supported very well. And then the other brands are less supported, but... Yeah, just depends on the kind of objects you put on your report. Similar, simple tables would be fine, and yeah, the more complex, the more difficulty the browser might have.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I know that from 2008 to 2008 R2, there were not so many controls, etc. added, but they were especially paying attention to that type of thing, making it Flickr-free and also supporting very many more browser platforms. I don't know by heart which platforms are supported, but usually, of course, it lags a bit behind. But I know that 2008 R2 was reporting was very improved in that respect. Yeah, if you want to know the exact platforms, we can look them up after the session. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's enough.
Yeah, we will continue then. Maybe you can switch to the PowerPoint. Well, we are right on schedule, so we continue. There are two more demos to go shortly. They are a bit shorter than this demo. And we also have some theory, which is coming now. What's new in reporting services SQL 2008 R2? If you are already used to 2005 or 2008, you would like to know what is now supported, which was not before. We have many more data sources supported. So now you can also support, for instance, loading of data from SharePoint lists. In the field, we often have in our BI systems, we don't only read data, but we also have to add things that users come up with, for instance, budgets or special settings or things like that. Up till now, we did that with Excel. We made an Excel source, and they could use Excel, type in their data, and that was another source for our report. And from now on, we use SharePoint lists to make the user enter data that is used in reports. It's a much more smoother experience. It's within their own environment, so that's much better. Of course, also Azure and Power Pivot have been added. I forgot to tell about SharePoint that it is also there is also a design tool for that, so it's also a visual thing to add fields from lists, quite easy. I don't have an illustration of that, but it's like what we did with SQL Server. You also have a query painter. The same is now for SharePoint. A very important improvement in reporting services is that you can, up till now, you build whole reports in one go, but you can also build report parts, which are only controls with their own data set behind it. And you can use those parts, put them in a SharePoint gallery, and a user can browse through the gallery and take the parts, put them on his canvas, and make his own dashboards. That's a very nice feature. It's a report gallery feature if you look if you try to look it up on the internet. Then we have the Atom data feeds. Yeah, I'm not very sure how useful that will be. It has the theory behind it is that when a user is trusting his report, finally, takes often lots of time to make a user trust the report. First, he has to trust you. It's also not a very easy thing because you're an external consultant, and it takes a bit of time. Then he trusts your report, and that data becomes the truth. And that truth must be reused in other reports. That's where the Atom data feeds are for. So you have the report, it is trusted, the data is validated very well. And you want to reuse the data in other reports, or you want to use it as a source for other applications. That's where the Atom data feeds are for. And then you have the visualization options, which are enhanced. And we will browse through a couple of those. Well, this slide was stolen. Maybe you notice. You have several versions of reporting services, plus what type of visual functionality was added in that version. we started with a simple chart, and then finally we have many more controls to use and to present data visually to end users, and that's where your profit can come from. So if you have to build an application and there's a lot of visualization in there, integrate the reporting services solution, and it saves you a lot of coding time. We'll show you a couple of examples. This is a dashboard with all kinds of... I think it's ugly, but of course it shows the possibilities. So we've put it up. Sliders and all types of indicators, clocks, etc. Now this one is known to you. I can go over it, the maps. Then you have the spark lines. Spark lines and data bars are very small ways to present your data. So if you have a long list of values and you want to express, for instance, the size of the values, you cannot see it from the figure, but you want to make it more graphically, you can use spark lines and data bars to show, for instance, trends over time. Or I think the next one is more illustrative. Here you see, for instance, how it was through the month, how many months were okay and how many months were not okay, what the value is compared to the other values, indicators whether we are going in the right direction or not, things like that. So then we come up to the integration scenarios finally. How would you develop your project, which consists of both application development side and BI development side? Our story today is that you can use both types of people. So we'll start with a project manager. This is not Jack, this is somebody else. I didn't come up with a name yet. It will be part of the contest at the end. He has to steer two teams. One is the blue team, one is the brown team. And the teams will consist of very different people. At the left side, we will have the very hard-working, highly skilled, disciplined workers. They will come up very early every morning and do an excellent job. Hard workers. At the other side, we have very communicative people who like to talk a lot, and by talking are working. It seems they are working. They are creative as well, so they like to paint a lot of things instead of programming. And before they go to work, they first get the world into themselves, do some analysis on how things are going, etc. And so they show up late every morning. Well, it's up to you to decide which are the .NET developers and which are the BI developers. It's hard to combine these two worlds, but it has to be done, so the manager has a job. And I think this integration scenario we show now is an easy way to come out of this, because you can use the skills of both teams. Both are necessary and helpful to make a good end product by making them do their own thing and finally integrate it into a nice application. And that's what we show in the next demo. Now, the main way to use reporting services functionality within your .NET application is to use the report server, report viewer control. The report viewer control is supplied with reporting services, and you can make it up in your application and use it, and use existing reports. So there are two ways of doing this. You can have you can use the report server control for ASP.NET pages for web applications, and you can also use the Windows version of the report viewer control for your Windows application. They offer the same functionality, so there's no difference. It's just what you must build. Then we have two ways when you add in the report viewer control. You can choose between local or remote processing. Remote processing is what we are talking about up till now. So we are developing a report in a report server. It is processing, it's getting its data, etc. Everything is prepared on beforehand. and you're very dependent upon SQL Server in that scenario. You can also use the local processing mode, and I think that's maybe easier to use because it's within your application development. Since Visual Studio 2010, there is a designer with which you can make the local report viewer control, and you have a lot of small differences. I've listed them in this table. For every advantage, there is also a disadvantage, a well-known statement in the Netherlands. I think Ajax is not very easy anymore. It's, I think 10 years ago, everyone was talking about Ajax, but that's gone. It will come up again. No problem. Things come and go. Yes. It's one go. What are the advantages? You can use reports without using Business Intelligence Development Studio, so you can keep it on the .NET side of your team. You don't need license fees for reporting services if you use it in local mode. It's embedded. And a very nice thing is you can use your object data sources. So within your application, you can define classes of objects, make lists out of it, and say to the reporting server control, this list is your data set. And then you can program just as we did with pulling everything on the canvas. Disadvantage, you don't have the interactive prompting that I was talking about with parameters, the end user parameters, so it will be a static report and you have to program yourself if you want the interaction. But it is possible, of course. Less rendering options, which means you cannot export to Word, I think. And, well, there are about 8 export formats, and then you have 6. I don't know by heart which ones are not supported. I can try to look it up. You don't need the parallel development by a BI team, and you can you have some performance or memory limitations when you use the local processing. Okay? The case update for the next demo. The service manager has to adjust the number of employees to make an equal distribution across the country. And we do that by building or by providing a .NET application and then putting the report we just built into the .NET application and make one integrated go of it. I want to invite Dave again.
Well, our users, or Jack, already has an application he can use just to see how many employees are working in each municipality. But this is not very graphically, so that's why we'll add a map to it. I'll just make the room a little bit bigger. We'll add a Windows Form host because there's no reporting services control you can use out of the box. But we can add a child to this Windows Form host, which is our report viewer control. I'm not a .NET developer, so don't ask me about all the details about that. But I think I came pretty far.
Yeah, it works. I know.
This is our Windows Form host, and now we go back to the C# side of this page, and I have a few snippets available. Of course, we need to use the reporting Windows Forms assembly, but I believe that's already there. Yeah. Then we'll add a report viewer object and make some static strings with our report server URL. And then in the constructor of the page, we'll initiate the report viewer and then hook it up to the Windows Forms host. As you can see, we set the processing mode to remote, you know, in this case, and yeah, the path and the report server URL are provided as well. It is running locally, and this is the report we deployed earlier. And to make it work, we'll have to add just one more thing, because else it wouldn't be visible. And we'll do that. We'll do that on the page load. I'll have to. If I'm going too fast for you guys, just say it. But I believe you're already familiar with this stuff. This just makes the report refresh and load itself. And we'll add just one other feature to make Jack's life a little bit more comfortable, and that is to make it possible to edit the value of the number of employees in the table, and then the report is going to reload itself. And we do that by checking the events, row editing ended. And we'll say to the report, refresh yourself if the row edit is committed. I think we're done now. We can check if it works. The grid itself is bound to the database table, so Jack has the option to edit this column. As you can see, Medemblik and what was it called? Grote Gast is a little bit high, so we'll just look up Medemblik. Well, it has only one employee. If we add another one, the this number will be divided by two, so we'll be much better. And now the report is loaded, and also the legend is
changed, of course.
Changed, of course. We didn't set it.
This was an outlier value that is now coming between the other values. If you don't understand this, I can explain.
You can, of course, set the legend to a fixed value, but we didn't do that. So now everything is more between our goal, and yeah, it's much more distributed equally.
Yeah, and maybe it was more easy to change Grote Gast because that had almost that was already in the pattern, and
yeah,
you keep the outlier.
Grote Gast is almost.
Can you change both again?
Do you want me to?
Yeah, so Medemblik back to one employee, right, and then Grote Gast.
Sure. Let me see.
I think that's easier to check for you whether everything works fine.
Grote Gast is back. Medemblik also back.
Now you see that one red spot has disappeared and there's only one left.
Yeah.
And the legend is still the same basis. So
yeah,
it's easier to check whether everything is working fine. Well, this is the scenario where you have a BI development team developing the reports and a .NET team developing the functionality and then integrating it in the end. That's the way you can do that. Okay. Anything else to tell about this? No?
No, then I think not.
Well, because this is the conference of mobile Windows Mobile Phone 7, we could not stay behind, so we've prepared something for that as well. We think the Windows Phone 7 platform will become very important, and we also, as McCall, want to support it, of course, because it's a Microsoft platform. So we did some research, what we can find on the market, controls that we can easy use in our BI applications, and we have made up a lot of categories in our little research. We have found out about VisiBlocks, Blue Granite, DSPanel, and Component Art, what their characteristics are in terms of developer features and in terms of end-user features. And this is the table that came up. As you see, Blue Granite is scoring very well, so that's where we've prepared a demo in, you will see shortly. It is free to use. It can also get data from SSAS and PowerPivot, which are for us are very important sources of our data. It can connect to Azure. SQL Server is, of course, supported by most tools. And a very interesting thing is that you can build reports, as we did just half an hour ago, and you can reuse them in your mobile phone. So you don't have to redevelop. It will look the same on whatever device, on your laptop or on your phone. It will be the same report. You have to change a little, a couple of things. You have to add some tags, and then it will show up. It's not compatible with Visual Studio 2010 yet. This is from the end user side. There we have more competence from the other tools because they are performing very well as well. But the things we needed are well supported by Blue Granite again, so that's where we have decided to build our demo in. I think that's about what we want to say about Blue Granite before we show it in a demo. We've tried to make it working on the phone itself, but we didn't have the things available and it was hard to do it, so we used the emulator, as you've seen a couple of times today. Jacques, in our case, gets an SMS alert. Something is going wrong in one of the municipalities. One of the municipalities has too little service employees to service all the customers that are coming with their defect phones. So we have built an application that shows the municipalities where we have relatively little service employees. A top 10 is this, so Medemblik and Grote Gast are still in the top 10 as the locations where the problems arise. I think it's Medemblik we want to correct. And on the other hand, we've made a second chart which shows the municipalities where there are relatively many service employees. And Jacques can now decide from home whether he wants to call one of these municipalities. I think one is in the neighborhood of Medemblik. It's
I believe Haarlem is the closest.
Yeah. So with his phone, Jacques can immediately conclude that Haarlem has too many service employees, can do a phone call there and say one of your employees should go over to Medemblik because they have a problem. And he can go on with his life without interruption. That's one of the scenarios we think is important. You have an application which is being used for analytics, which is being used for resource planning and being used for immediate service calls, all in one application, but it has different forms in which it is shown, used on your mobile, used on your laptop. That's about it, I think. Thank you very much for your demos, and we'll go over to the questions part. Switch. Well, one of the questions. I just start. Yes.
Does maps available in GeoAlpha's the reporting services?
Your question is whether there are Dutch maps available out of the box for reporting services. I've downloaded now one from CBS. Yes. No, when I think when you install SQL 2008 R2, you do not have maps from the Netherlands. Most is based on the United States, the first maps you get. So it is not provided out of the box. I think you can download them from CodePlex or other places.
A lot of
places. Yeah. So they are readily available, but not out of the box in the tool when you install it. Thank you for your question. Another question? Yes?
How was the last app created? Maybe I missed something, but you were talking about SRS. And
yes.
I saw some bars on the screen.
Okay.
You created a still light app and you put on some
app? No. He asks how does this app just suddenly appears there. I'll demonstrate it. Blue Granite is a third-party application, which gives you the opportunity to supply it with dashboards. This is our DevDays demo dashboard, and you can, if I edit the properties, you can provide it with an URL, and this URL is now on a fixed XML file for the simple purpose of the demo, but each report you create with a few adjustments, like Robert said, is capable of providing the XML provided necessary for this application.
So you build your report parts in reporting services, you add a couple of tags to the RDL file, and you can feed it to the Blue Granite app.
An app, yeah. Every report in reporting services has the capability to export the data in an XML file, and when you call the report in the address bar of the Internet Explorer browser or whatever browser, you can give it a command to format it in XML immediately, and that URL you have to provide in the app, and then it will load the data. Yeah, this is just a rendering app, and you have to provide it with the XML. Yep.
But that's no control. It's an app.
Yeah, it's an app. Can you speak up? Yeah, it provides a couple of authentication providers, and I believe you can use is it only basic authentication is supported, so if you publish your report server externally with basic authentication, you can use this app from anywhere over the world. All right. Okay.
Any features you're missing so far on reporting services? So if you're used to a special reporting tool and you say, oh, I know something reporting services can't do. Report Builder, yeah, it has evolved. So you had Report Builder 0.1 in 2005, which was a nasty product. We didn't even introduce it with customers. Then you had Report Builder 2.0. When customers asked for it, okay, they got it, but we were still not promoting, and now you have Report Builder 3.0, which is much better. It has almost the same experience as what you see when you build a report with Visual Studio, only you cannot find out about the code, etc. It is an end-user tool, but it's much better, and the products the user is making can be reused in code projects as well. It is provided with SQL Server as well, so you will get it on your disk. But you can, indeed, it is very much improved. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So you emphasize something I already said in the session. I think the command is that the reporting services should be an endpoint and not be used as a data source for other. Because from an architectural point of view, you will get a mess in your applications. So we do not support that yet. But there is something true about the statement that people trust their report and they want to reuse the data in other applications as well. So in self-service BI scenarios, I think we could deliver this solution as well. Yeah.
I would rather than share that data.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
True. But in the latest self-service BI tools the user has, for instance, PowerPivot, the user often wants to get the data from the report and analyze it more. Get find some stuff. How do you call it? L.
What we often
he wants
see
to analyze it, and yes. I think it will. It's all right to give him that opportunity to use the report as a data feeder for PowerPivot, but for other reports, it's no use, and I would not recommend it.
Okay. Yeah. Other questions? Yeah. Yes. Maybe Dave could answer this
I'm
one.
I'm not sure, but I
some experience on
you. You can. All right.
Okay.
My colleague Jorg, he agrees. You can. In bits, yes. Yeah. And that way you can design a table or a graph and deploy it to the report gallery, and then other users or developers in the BI development studio can use that part to create more reports, and then when you need the central table or graph to be updated or changed, you can do that at once, and then all the other reports will be updated automatically. Does that answer your question? Okay.
Of course, a report part also needs a context of a data set, which should also be shared between the report parts that are on your canvas as well. And you have to provide a mechanism where you build a dashboard page and the user chooses another year that all the report parts on the dashboard receive that new filter and apply it to their data so that it will show a consistent view of the situation. So there are mechanisms for that as well. It is a complete product as far as we can see it. And that's very good, I think, for a version 1 product. So we're glad with it. Yeah. Any other questions? We have a couple of minutes left. Don't hesitate. Yes?
Do you know if any mobile devices would have internet browser that is capable of showing reports?
Of showing reporting services reports natively? Yes. Yeah. When you have a report server which is internet facing, a couple of mobile devices are able to show the report quite well. We did some experiments, I think, with iPad.
Yeah. Yeah. And iPhone and iPads on the Safari browser can display them very well. And of course, Internet Explorer also on the mobile Explorer do it as well.
But then your data is exposed to the outside world, of course, because you can then connect from the outside world into your report server. So,
you can use a private Wi-Fi also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much for your attention. We're right on time. And we have the contest. The contest.
Oh, yeah, the contest.
We have a question prepared for you, maybe you know. Microsoft is now preparing a new reporting product or platform. Do you know the name of that project? Crescent. All right. Who said that? Yeah?
Ooh, we won the prize.
I'll get you the prize. It's big. Now you can carry it. It's a big Earl from McCall. There you are. Nice for the kids or nephews or everyone. Okay, thank you very much. Zo, precies op tijd, man.